I guess this is weird. Devontae's not here.
I know. This is our first show without him.
I feel my jiu-jitsu, what's up? We are technically I've done two shows without him. Mm-hmm. But I haven't done like a show without him and multiple people. Mm-hmm. And that's why it feels weird, right? Like, right. I feel like the energy is a little off, if that makes sense.
And I'm sitting in this spot. I'm not taking your spot,
nah,
DJ,
nah.
For sure. Like, I'm just sitting in a seat that I can't feel.
Man, DJ's injured anyways. He can't He can't defend shit.
Oh, DJ. Get well soon, sir.
Yes, get well soon. Also, he's in... the reason why DJ's not with us, for everyone tuning in, if you haven't heard him talk about his popsity over the past few weeks or joining us just now, he's in Japan.
That's right. Yeah,
he's out in Japan checking out the land of the rising sun.
You better be careful, man. They're paying brothers... Oh.
What? Oh, they're going around the internet. They pay dudes to come. Specifically black dudes.
Guys.
Like, why
they're
black?
They're paying black guys, I think, with 10 Gs.
I wonder how real that is.
Look, man, they're lucky I'm not single, because I'll go to and clean house.
Hold on. What? Paying them to do what?
That's what I'm saying. I haven't done the research. So there's this thing going around the internet saying, like, it started with Japan.
Okay.
That Japan has, like, this low birth rate, like, declining population.
Yeah.
So they were like, hey, black dudes, we're going to pay you to come over here and, like, marry Japanese women. That's what it said. I never looked into it. To me right now, it's conspiracy theory. Because I've seen some for Switzerland, I've seen some for some other places, and they were like, nah,
Korea,
that's not
true. They talked about it on Joe Rogan podcast.
Oh, they did? Okay.
Yeah, so it's some validity to it. I'm not saying Joe Rogan is where you get all the
valid news. Yeah.
But he had said it on there too, so I'm like, man, they're lucky I'm not, I'm not in a good place right now, because if I was in a bad place, I'd go there and clean house.
Would you ever consider marriage in this scenario for the money, if another country was offering for citizenship and money?
No, because A, marriage is never my goal. B, I don't want children. C, I'm good here for now.
So no marriage and no children.
Well, it's not a goal, but no children. No, okay. I'm not. I'm a proud auntie. I'm very career driven. I'm like trying to climb, but not really climb the corporate ladder too. So that's always been my drive. And yeah, I'm just happy to be an aunt, really.
I mean, okay. I'm gonna get some claps on that one. No kids.
Yeah, no. Plus, like, I'm so selfish with my money.
Yes.
I work so hard to be here. First gen immigrant or first gen American. Parents are both immigrants. They, work their tail off to give us the kids, like, the best future. And I'm like, I am definitely gonna capitalize on this. So that's just kind of where I'm at.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say definitely, like, if I was with my lady, I would contemplate, going somewhere and finding a wife. But I would have to find the right person. I can't just get married. If I'm getting married, it has to be with the right person. It can't be just because of X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's such an interesting topic.
Wait, I'm sorry. Married for money. We didn't say how much money. So we can talk all this crap right now, but if someone said, hey, I'll give you 10 mil to marry this guy right here. Look, I'll marry anybody tonight.
For 10 mil?
For 10 million?
Tonight.
I didn't think my lady might let me
we'll,
do it.
We'll consider that one.
No, it would be a conversation I would have. Yeah, look, we can... This can change. Say, look, I'm not, what I mean?
Okay. Point taken. That's
money
a good one.
Does change a lot. Speaking of money changing a lot, I haven't talked about CGI in a while.
Oh, yes.
And that is definitely changing the money structure within jiu-jitsu and is creating more avenues for athletes. As far as this goes, before we dive into that, I do want to get into a conspiracy theory that I personally have. It's just fun. It's my tinfoil hat. So what if the Danaher death squad never split up? You mentioned before that Craig Jones is trying to be like a Dana White, right?
Mm-hmm.
John Danaher, from the start of it, has always been about promoting sport and getting sport better and putting it out there. What if behind closed doors, they split secretly in the same way to make it like reality, right? Mm-hmm. But to tell a story, and now they have B-Team, they have New Wave, and now they're driving the competition on both fronts. Because that's kind of what's happening if you look at ADCC and CJI. So that's my conspiracy theory.
Oh, man, we can go down a whole rabbit hole about this. I mean, I've seen the conspiracies about the funding being from, like, whoever is heading ADCC or whoever's the main funder there. And, yeah, that's just been kind of the main one floating around. And I think we brought up maybe Zuck was responsible for that, being that he is very interested in jiu-jitsu. So, you know, anything can happen. I think anything goes at this point.
This is a theory that was out for a long time, and it was one that I did believe, because John did talk about that a lot, about, like, just wanting to grow the sport somehow. And when you look at this, you see, like, oh, man, maybe this was all part of the plan. But the way things are, to be honest with you, I don't think so. Like this was, like, this would have been genius if they were like, oh, we had this set up the whole time. For two brothers to be apart and not on speaking terms, quote unquote, I don't think they would have went to that length to, like, fool everybody. It'd have been enough for, like, them to split, but Ron, Nikki still be with Gordon.
Yeah.
You know, so I do think some weird stuff happened in the jungle, and they're just like, all right, that's it, you know. But I mean, but it's a fun theory to think about. You know what I mean? If it came out, I'm like, oh, we planned this the whole time, I'm like, oh, okay. You know, like I wouldn't, it wouldn't be the most unbelievable thing to me.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
It just wouldn't, like, I just feel like it would, like you said, it wouldn't be unbelievable for Craig. I just see Craig Jones as being like, you know, I could do this. Like,
but I mean, but here's the thing, like it was, this was, this plan, this whole thing came at the last minute, at the last hour, because Craig originally was planning on just doing a seminar and in Vegas. He wasn't going to compete in ADCC. He was going to do a seminar and then donate all the money to the guys who didn't win.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought that was dope. And then like, I think 2 weeks later, he's like, oh, I just got some money to do my own tournament now, you know, so I don't know.
The plot thickens.
It does.
Yeah.
Pretty much I want to talk about today is just coming back after a hiatus, and how do you think it should be approached? Is there a way that you approach it? And just at the end of the day, any advice you might have for someone coming back from a hiatus?
Oh, man, I guess it depends on the kind of a hiatus. Are you taking a hiatus because of injury? Are you taking a hiatus because you just need a mental break from it? Or because life is just busy? So I guess it really depends on the hiatus.
Let's right now, let's just go, life is busy.
Okay.
Life is busy.
Oh, man. Now, I feel that one. Life gets busy, especially, you know, working a really busy, like, 9 to 5 from day to day. I don't know. I guess if you have your weekends, take them. I think weekends are very important for recovery, self-care, and I think this can be part of a self-care routine if you think about it.
Yeah.
You know, diving back into it head first is how I kind of approach it. I don't ease myself back into it. It's just one of those things where I'm like, let me just do it, just to do it first couple of times. I'll be like, all right, fine. I'm in a good headspace now. Because, yeah, you know, staying out of it for so long really, like, puts me in a funk too. And, yeah, it's different from injuries. Injuries, you have to kind of ease yourself into, but it's just like, you know, my life's just been busy. I guess I just dive head first.
Okay.
You know, Professor Steve said this, and it, like, really resonated to me, so I always say it. He's like, you realize how much you depend on this mentally when you don't have it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like 2 weeks goes, and you're like, I need my, it's like therapy. But on this subject, I believe it's going to be different for person to person and rank to rank. Mm-hmm. Because I believe, like, if you're a wider blue belt, you take a hiatus and you come back, you know, it's just more about, like, trying to remember and trying to get your lungs back, right? If you're, like, a brown or black, I'm leaving purple out because I think it can sway to either side of the fence, but, like, yes, brown or black, you really have to get your ego in check, because it's going to be really difficult to come back to a class. Everyone's hungry, or everyone's, like, getting ready for something, or everyone's been training and they're in the mode. And you remember what you used to be, And then you go on that and you're not that anymore. You got this blue belt that's giving you a run for your money. And you're thinking like, what the heck is going on? And you got to like really be prepared to be like, look, I'm not going to be what I used to be. This is going to take a while. This is going to be like, it's going to be like a small learning curve again. And I'm going to get this back. But I think it's really important to really make sure that you check in with yourself, with your ego, and take it slow. And because there's two things you got to get back. One is the memory of like your body has to remember the moves. Like it's one thing to know it mentally. It's a whole nother thing for your body to respond like that. Yeah. And the jiu-jitsu lungs, everyone talks about it. You know what I mean? It takes at least a week or two. Like if you take a month off and you try to go back to jiu-jitsu, you're like, oh, okay, it's like two rounds in. You're like, oh my God, what? Like, why is it? Was it always this hard? You know? And so it's like, yeah. it takes a while to figure that out, to figure out your breath and figure out your movement, you know? And then I think dropping the ego is going to be like the biggest thing, yeah. You know?
You know, two things is it's been like 2 weeks for me, so I don't know where my lungs are going to be.
Hold on, wait a minute.
Yeah, I haven't been training.
For 2 weeks?
Yeah.
When you going back?
Never.
I want to know. I want to know the day that you go to class.
I quit. I'm doing that blue belt thing where you quit. Yeah, I'm joking. Yeah. No, you're not. No, in all seriousness, it's just life has been crazy. That's part of the reason. Like I was like, any advice coming back? I have like I've been doing a lot of thinking about how I want to approach coming back to myself. And 2 weeks in the grand scheme of things does not sound like a lot.
Right.
But when you're someone like me who trains 5 to 6 days a week on a regular basis, on top of like strength and conditioning, like I haven't even been working out. So it's very much been like kind of vacation mode, if that makes sense. So that's why I keep saying I'm retired. I'm not doing anything. Like
it's temporary. You'll be back eventually.
No, for sure. I'm a little torn because right now everyone's preparing for Worlds, and you mentioned it, and I put it outside of my head because I don't even want to think about it because I don't want to even light that fire inside of me right now. I need to just, like, chill.
So, all right.
There's nothing
I hope
wrong
I'm not,
that.
Like, veering off the subject.
Go ahead. Whatever.
What is it, like, because I know for me, what I go through, what does it feel like for you? Because you're a competitor. When you go back to class and you feel the energy of everyone preparing for an event.
Yeah.
Like, does that like, do you get like a big case of FOMO? Does it not bother you at all? Or do you like, man, maybe I'm going to do it.
I think that's a tough one. It depends upon where my headspace is. Like right now, my headspace is not competition. So I imagine when I go back, I'm going to try to fall into the role of, like, how can I help you guys? What can I do? Do you want Cop J? Do you want, like, Chill J? Do you want Cardio Pushing J? Do you want someone who's going to put up a wall? How can I help my teammates do what they need to do? Go ahead.
Hold on. But that very thing, like when you're like, oh, I'm helping my teammates, right?
Yeah.
You mess around and get bit by the bug, you know, like I'm training just like as hard as, and you start feeling it too.
Not me.
Really?
This is,
I can't be in like hard training and everyone getting ready for war. And I'm like, man, I want some war. I want some, you know.
So I do this thing a lot. For the most part, I am always downloading what is going on. Like I'm always downloading, what are you doing? Like, what are your movements? Where are you moving? And I'm thinking, what is the possible next place you can go by what you're setting up? That's what I'm doing the whole time. So in that mode, for me, I'm slowing everything down enough to where I have to go, oh, he's doing that. Oh, okay. Oh, you don't like that. So dial your ego down. Let him get there. If he traps you, that's fine. Figure out how to get out without, you know, attaching your ego to that. So for me, I'm always playing with that counterbalance of my ego. And I'll do this thing where, like, you'll see it where I'll be battling someone, and then I'll come up, and I'll, like, my head will come up. That's me resetting, like, hey, get out of that mode. Come back. Dial your ego down. Like, you're safe now. Reset, and now play jiu-jitsu again. So I'm always constantly, you know, pushing that pedal on the ego while I'm rolling. So I think I'm in very good control of it in those scenarios.
All right. One more on this and I'll let it go. Same thing. Like you're helping your brothers, and your sisters, and you just out of kicks and giggles, you just look at the bracket that you would be in, and everyone that you see is like, "Oh, I beat all these guys." Nothing.
I'm already sitting at a place where, and anyone can call this ego or not, is where I already know I'm better than where I'm ranked, if that makes sense. So I'm always looking at people and going, "No, that's my spot." Always. And not with you. I'll be out like,
No.
Because you definitely got my spot.
No, man.
But I'm always looking at people and just understanding, like, I'm in a position to where I could shine, but I know this is what it is, my injuries. I'm injured. That's why I'm always dialing my ego back. My safety is my priority. I say that all the time.
Yeah.
So me not getting hurt is more important than trying to battle for an ego position or anything like that. So, no.
Okay.
I have to, like...
I guess my ego's horrible, though.
No, it's
everything I just named, I'm like...
You know, it's important that you named, like... You know, you got to get past the ego before you can do all these things, too. I definitely think that's important, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think your ego is?
I can honestly say I don't have that much of an ego on the mats. I have accepted that, you know, you got to suck to get better, and you got to be in bad positions to figure out how to get out of it. So I, you know, try to get that out of my head. I turn my brain off, which isn't always the best thing because, you know, when you turn your brain off, you're not thinking, and then the full mind body connection isn't there, but it helps me. It helps me, you know, get into a sane headspace, because if I'm going on the mats or if I'm training, something's going on. I have a lot of anxiety sometimes, even like going to class. So once I step on that mats, turn my brain off, it's just a way for me to like recenter myself. So I try to keep that out of my head. And as far as like competition goes, I mean, I've done a competition in like a year and a half, and I'm sure I'll get back to it. It's just, I gotta battle that anxiety piece too.
Yeah. Okay.
What? You're a white belt?
Blue.
Blue. Let me ask you something.
Yeah. Like, don't disrespect the girl like that.
No. I didn't know, because I remember seeing you. I didn't know if by that time you were ranked or not. You have gotten ranked or not. So if someone came in their second or third day, never did jiu-jitsu, they were super unathletic, and you go, "Oh, let's roll," and they got the better of you, that wouldn't bother you at all?
No. I mean, they're helping themselves. I'm helping them just as much as they're helping me too. And it really depends. Let's say, you know, you have this guy that comes in like, "Oh yeah, sure, I've trained every once in a while," and he has like such an aggressive ego. And then I'm like, whatever, feed him to me. Like, let me keep you in check. Maybe sometimes that'll happen. It's not often. I think I'm in an environment where people are really good about checking that ego at the door. But no, I mean, if it happens, it happens. And if it's another man, well, I'm a girl, so.
No, but if it's like another female and she's smaller than you and she has only been doing it for 3 days and she's getting the better of you, that wouldn't bother you at all?
No, because chances are that female that's coming in for like her second or third day is probably still getting over the jitters of being in the sport too. Because I have totally been in that position where it's my second or third day. I don't think I'm good. I still don't know what I'm doing. So I chalk up to losing as to, you know, they're not technical yet. They're not as well versed as I am. And I've been, you know, I've been doing this for like 4 years. So it's still, you know, it's not as long as probably you guys, but you know, it's fine.
I'll tell you what men say. If a guy comes in, he's new, he's like a white belt, and he's like getting the better of some blue and purples, they'll go in the locker room like, "Yeah, he's probably a wrestler."
Yes. You know? But it's very rare that a lady's going to come in with that kind of background too. But if they are a wrestler and they're schooling me, hats off to you. You know, you got your skill. That's fine. Yeah. Maybe competition, I'll let like ego come out a little bit. But for the most part, I try to like keep that at bay.
Yeah. I believe you have to, especially like... thank God you said something about like nerves too. Cause I'm like, I feel the same way.
A lot of people feel some degree of nerve because, you know, when I do step on that mat for competition, I can't believe like the anxiety really does consume me. And it was really evident in my last competition where I didn't have enough mat time. So I was just in my head. So yeah, that's a really tough one to overcome for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, mat time is very important, especially when you're leading up to a competition. Mm-hmm. I've done competitions where I've had no mat time, or little to no mat time. I've done competitions where I've had all the mat time, and the ones that I've felt like I've done the best on are the ones that I've had the most mat time.
Absolutely, on. Yeah.
It goes both ways for me. So you don't feel like if you had like less mat time, but you had more rest, you don't play better? Because there's a psychological battle that I have for myself even then. Like, I guess I do this on purpose. That like if I don't train as much, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to lose. So I'm playing with house money. Like, I'm supposed to lose. I didn't really train for this.
Yeah.
You know, and then I go in and I do better than I think I was supposed mm-hmm. to do. And I'm like, oh, look at this. I guess I'm always looking for that thing to help me play with house money. You know what I mean? Because I don't want to go in and be like, I'm super ready. I'm mentally and emotionally ready. I trained every day. You know, because that makes me feel like I have to win.
Yeah.
You know? I can definitely see that, too.
You seem like you have something
to say. Oh, no. I was just agreeing with that statement.
Yeah. As far as that goes, I guess I kind of get that. Like, I'm playing with house money. I feel kind of a little bit like that. But I also know for me, and when I do my best is when I dedicate myself 100%. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't happen without me getting the mat time. Mm-hmm. What keeps me away from the mat, especially during competition, is obviously life. Having to work, and then injuries, because, you know, I swear, I don't care how many times I know this is going to happen. 2 to 3 weeks into a training camp, I'm always fucking injured with something.
Mm-hmm. It's the joy of being in your 30s.
And I really think it's just that, like, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna hit this training camp hard. I'm gonna do it right this time. I'm gonna dedicate 100%, and then I'll hit a wall and I'm like, oh, I'm injured. Now I gotta like slow down and like, when can I go? When I can't go? Oh, hey, what's up? My lady has returned. For the guests, we might have to pause. Let's just go ahead and pause real quick.
But those injuries, though.
Yeah, and we're back. And the injuries, yeah. So I just always feel like I always get injured the first, like, 2-3 weeks back. And it's always, like, trying to, like, battle through that to the end of the competition. And it's always, you go in that competition, it's like, man, I got to watch it if someone tweaks my knee this way. Or I got to watch my shoulder. Like, I got to, like, put those extra defenses up.
That's extra pressure added to yourself, too.
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've totally been there where, you know, I did, I injured something, and then the entire time I'm just thinking, like, don't touch my ankle, don't fuck with my ankle, like, or let's not, like, I hope I don't fuck up my ankle, something like that. So that's always going to be, that is, yeah, definitely a mental block also.
Yeah, for anyone out there, if this sucks, because if you're training for a tournament, you're kind of in a lose-lose. But it's, in my opinion, is worth sitting out over trying to work through it, because you take the chance of, from being out for like 1 or 2 weeks, you take a chance of being out for like 3 months. This has happened to me. Mm. And I wasn't training for a tournament. And I can't imagine if I was. Because I probably would have been pushing it even harder.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if I'd have stayed out for like 2 weeks, I would have been better and I would have been able to do it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's tricky, man. It's tricky.
It is. And that's, you know, and that's another reason why, like, going back into, like, having been off for 2 weeks, I have to, the onus is on me to be extra, like, secure in my ego and not get into these battles with these people. Because, like we're talking about, in that first 2-3 weeks, you end up getting injured because you're trying to push. You're trying to prove something to yourself. You're trying to, like, hey, I can still go, or I can still be in the arena with these guys.
Yeah.
That and weight cutting is a terrible part of this process, too, because the last tournament I was in, I think I was cutting about 10 pounds, and I'm at that weight where I'm not...
You can't,
like,
cut.
Right. Yeah. That, and I'm not 120 pounds. And I'm also, like, not 170 plus. So I'm, like, in the middle. So I have been bumped up to, like, the next weight class up, because there was nobody in my bracket. And that's the most... one of the most, like, frustrating parts. And then it's like, why did I just do this?
Yeah.
So when I got bumped up from where I wanted to be, I'm like, why did I even put the effort in to cut 10 pounds in the last, like, 3 days when, mm-hmm. you know, I could have just been here and been fine and had my energy, too. So that... don't want to do that again.
So, wait a minute. You So what happened?
I was trying to be in the 140-pound bracket from, you know, normal natural weight and about like 150. Mm-hmm. And it ended up there was nobody at my level in that weight bracket at the time. So like, we're just going to bump you up anyway. And I'm like, I didn't even need to cut.
So this is another thing. How I got to be careful. I was going to ask age, but I've been told not to, never ask.
33. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, you look good.
Oh, thank you.
I was told very early on, there was like, as a white belt, it's like, it says compete as much as possible.
Yeah.
Because it says, when you're my age right now is 40. When you're my age, no one's in your bracket.
Goals.
And, hold on. And
yes,
it's like,
goals.
So when you're saying this is a very true thing. Mm-hmm. People cut weight to, and in hopes that someone's going to be in their bracket.
Yeah.
You know, and then like you'll cut all this weight, no one's be there, and I'm like, well, you can either go up to two more weight classes, or you don't compete, you don't get a medal, and it's like, well, what was this for? So, boys and girls, compete as much as you can as a white belt. Yes. It may be the only time that you get like a fair fight.
I would even say blue belt.
Yeah.
So, even still at blue belt, you're still like cool.
Yeah.
Purpling up, you're lucky. You're lucky if someone's, you know, in your age division, you know, or you're going to go down and fight someone in adults.
It's tough in the women's division, too, because they have, I have seen tournaments where it's like, okay, if you're 155 pounds up, then you're just going to be all in one category.
Mm-hmm.
And that just, like, kind of discourages women from training, or, like, not training, but, like, competing if they're not, you know, under a certain weight, too. And that's hard.
Yeah.
That's
it's
really
not even
tough.
A fair fighting anymore.
No, it's absolutely not, because there's such a difference between someone who's, like, let's say, walking around at 155 versus someone at 170 and, you know, being in the women's bracket. That varies. 170 can look like anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
170 is... could be over 6 foot, and for someone like you, yeah. You know what I mean? Over 6 foot and, you know.
Jacked.
Yeah. And that's not fair. And then, you know, the other thing you were talking about, weight cutting, we were actually listening to this podcast about just intermittent fasting in general and how men and women vary differently with fasting.
Oh,
and
yeah.
There hasn't been a lot of studies on women with fasting, and there's more coming out. And so anyway, this woman doctor was pretty much explaining that just men and women lose weight differently.
Yes.
And so that's also probably a whole nother hurdle you probably have to jump over than we even have to worry about.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I do lift at least 2 to 3 times a week. I've kind of changed it up from what I originally was doing. And I've been doing better. I'm not as injured. I'm not as sore going in. But yeah, changing up the lifting schedule too, the whole like workout regimen has been a thing, and yeah, it's definitely different. I can't lose 10 pounds overnight, that's for sure. Yeah.
So like a 20 pound, that's crazy. Yeah. 20 pounds is crazy.
Yeah.
Especially in a tournament, like everything freaking counts. Especially if you're like dehydrated and a person's like, oh, this is my walk around.
Yeah.
You know.
So next tournament going forth, I will not be cutting that much weight because you do run into those situations where there's nobody in your weight bracket and you're going to get bumped up anyway. So,
yeah.
One of my first turn, actually my very, very, very first tournament after being promoted to blue belt, that happened. I just came back from Brazil. It was the first week and my coach was like, hey, you want to do a tournament this week? I was like, yeah, I jumped in. And these were some big boys. Like, they had to have been, like, 250 plus. And I dropped down to, like, 195.
Oh, my God.
And they were like, we don't have anyone for me, so you got to go against these guys. And I was like, well, I guess that's what we're doing today.
Oh, my God.
I got gold. Just anyone wants to know, I got gold.
Jay, can I ask something that's completely off the subject, man? I don't want to. I never want to, like, because I know you got your,
Ross,
you know,
you can
man.
Ask, bro,
let's do it.
Yeah. You are essentially a host of this show, bro. You treat this however the fuck you want
man,
to.
Man, I swear to God, I was trying to, like, not talk about this at all, but it's been, like, it's been happening more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, all right, let me, you know, I don't want to call it strength. Shaming.
Yeah.
And hold on. And let me make sure I say this. This is not to any of my brothers and sisters at HQ, Jean-Jacques HQ, or Forge. I don't get this from you guys. Just so you know. So I'm not talking about anybody from my home. But I travel a lot. I do pop-ups at gyms a whole lot. And anytime, like clockwork, anytime that I roll with someone higher rank or someone I may be bigger than, it's always like, oh, you're using a lot of strength. Oh, like you're so strong. And I know you've dealt with this before, mm-hmm. where I'm not going to use all of my strength, whatever. I'm going to use the proper amount just to like kind of move around, right? Mm-hmm. And you can feel a person, especially if they're a higher belt, being a blue belt, if you roll with a brown or black, you can feel that. You can even see them shaking. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wait a minute. So who's using more strength here, me or you?
Exactly.
You know? And that gets to me because after the roll, like, oh yeah, you're really strong. I'm like, what do you mean I'm really?
You started it. Like, yeah. I don't know what
you
to
mean
tell you.
I just strengthened my way through this whole roll right here? And then people have said it, and it's gotten to me. The people who I think really mean it. There's people who say it that I know we're always joking, but there are people who said it to me, and I'm like, yo, do you really think that I just muscled my way through all the tournaments that I've won? Do you really think, you know, like there's no technique in there at all? I'm just like stronger than everyone. A lot of the people in our bracket are on something. I'm not on anything, yeah. Right? You think I was just out muscling them and, you know? And so this is like something that's, I heard it twice, and it's never, sometimes it's a lower belt because it's like a white belt because yeah. they don't understand a lot.
Yeah.
But it's usually black belts if I get the better of them, and they always say that.
I'm gonna let you go first so I can think about what I want to say.
That's really interesting. I mean, I can't say I've had the same experience, and I think that, you know, men and women are treated differently sometimes on the mat too. But I don't know. I've definitely been in positions where it was a white belt man that's like trying to outmuscle like any of these positions. And I'm like, whoa, bro, I thought you were trying to work on technique. But sure, two could play this game. So you just kind of, I try to match their energy just to see what will happen.
You can feel when someone is like,
oh, absolutely. Yeah, you can see their knuckles getting white if you're like in the gi. And that kind of scares me because it's like, okay, first of all, you know, if you twist your hand this way and your hand and your knuckle is still like straight, you're going to hurt yourself. Second, this helps nobody, you know, this absolutely helps no one. And I don't always give feedback, but if, you know, people want feedback, I'll be like, hey, just be careful. You don't want to white knuckle your gi grip like that because, you know, it's not doing any of us good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's more happened to me with like lower ranked people, not so much higher rank. I think the higher rank, they're in my experience, they're more focused on their technique, and then I'll go into it like, okay, I just want to flow, and then they're like, all right, chill, you know, we can do this.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think I would say you're probably 100% correct in the sense of like, there's a difference between men and women on the mat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm of the belief that at the end of the day, there's always this underlying alpha energy going on with men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see that.
And it really plays out on the mat.
Yeah.
And I just say this just like when I talk to you, when I talk to other women who train, they don't seem to have the same experiences.
Mm-mm.
And like I was saying earlier, I'm always reading what's going on and the white knuckles, that extra force that I can see you're maxing out and I know I'm not using all my strength and you're just... And I'm like
trying to break guard or something.
Chill, I'm like, you can even see it in their eyes sometimes.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
And the way they breathe. Yes. Mm-hmm. You definitely tell.
And I'm like, well, I'm not.
Right.
Yeah, like relax.
And it does happen with lower belts, and I forgive it with lower belts because they're surviving for their life.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know, and if they've never had any sort of like competition or heaviness or anything like that, they don't know how to handle that.
No.
But for me, I hate it. When we're talking about me specifically, I hate it because I know I'm dialing down my strength. I know I'm thinking through this. And there's times where, yes, I'll use the strength. And, you know, it usually is when it's like, I want to see on an upper belt if I could beat them, if I get out of this position, or like if I'm trying to challenge myself, but there's still like a leash on that to use it just enough to get out of that position. Like I said, that pop-up head thing I do, come back to reality and then go again, you know? So that's kind of how I deal with it.
It doesn't bother you at all? You don't let it get to you?
I mean, it bothers me. It, like, I'm pissed off about it. Like, so,
because someone's like, so just like they're not giving you your credit.
I got a story for you. So I had been away from a gym for a small period of time. You know, not too long, but and then I went back to that gym, and one of the guys, it was open mat, and I came in like halfway through the open mat, and one of the guys was like, hey, so I rolled with him, and then after he was like, oh, you're fresh, like da da, you only like worked me because I was fresh. Like, he gave me that energy, and he didn't really say that. I was like, okay,
sure.
Next time I come back, motherfucker, you first. And I don't mean that, like, I don't mean like anything negative, but I just like, I want my credit. Like, I'm not in this scenario because of who it was. I was like, you gonna give me my fucking credit.
You know what? I'm glad you said that. Because men are so, they're so fickle. Like, their egos are so fickle. It gets on my doggone nerves. You just said that someone came to you and says, oh, the reason why you got the better of me is because I was fresh. Like, they weren't warmed up right now. No. Yesterday, I got the exact opposite. And so people won't know when this was aired, so I can say, you know, they don't know what day it is. But someone came in and it was like, oh man, you got the better of me because you were fresh, you know. And I'm like, oh, I mean, you didn't warm up. I mean, I didn't get a warm up, but you had a couple warm up rounds.
Yeah.
So like it's someone's gonna men, I believe, are always gonna use the. I see you smiling. Yeah. Are always gonna use the excuse that benefits them in the moment, you know. And it's annoying, man. It's like jiu-jitsu, and I never knew this. I was never around this. I played sports my whole life, and I've never seen this much men not being able to take it. Like, they cannot take a loss. And if they do take a loss, there's no reason why there was a loss.
I think you could be wrong there. I think that human beings in general cannot take losses.
Yeah.
And it manifests in different ways depending upon the individual. And I think in our scenario with guys and with like dudes, it just manifests as that more physical, oh, I can't fucking win. Like, it manifests in that. But I feel like there's more going on there than just that. Like, they're fighting other battles than just beating you a lot of the times, if that makes sense.
Also, sometimes men don't like losing to women on the mats. Losing.
I've seen that before.
Yeah. That's a very interesting place to be part of. I've been at a gym before where they had this like new guy come in. He's like, oh yeah, you know, I did some wrestling like back in the day. And, you know, the professor's like, okay, you know, let's get some rolls in. And I'm like, you know, welcome. You know, where are you coming from? That kind of thing. Just trying to be nice. And then the first time he just like pins me the entire time. And I can see like after that round, I'm like, oh, you feel good about yourself, don't you? You feel great about yourself. Next round, I get the better of him. And he's like, oh, what a cute back take. I'm just like, that was a very skillful back take.
Yeah.
So now it's become an inside joke between me and like my training group of friends. So I'm just like, yep, that was a very skillful one. You know, good roll, like bump it out.
Wow.
And he never came back since then.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That is unfortunately the reality of, you know, being on the mats with other men, because you can see that ego, especially coming in. And when you crush it, like, you can also see that in their faces. And I'm not out here like trying to be an ego crusher by any means. I'm like, I'm trying to be better. I'm trying to go to work after this. Cause it's like, you know, I do train primarily at like 7 a.m. Like, I'm trying to go to work. I know you probably have some stuff. Like, I ain't trying to kill nobody. And then after that, they never come back. I'm like, oh, well, I guess a part of them died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't. He has a pair on him. Like, oh, that was a cute back take.
Yeah, true story. That is one that I love to tell just because, you know, it just shows, like, you got to really check that ego at the door. There might be a female. If you're a dude, there's a female that's better than you. Mm-hmm. You know, take your losses. And, you know, especially if you're training at 7 a.m., there's a chance that, you know, the people you're training with are 9-to-5 professionals, such as mm-hmm. myself.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to go to work in one piece.
Yes, yes. Like, I mean, I've been tapped out a number of times. So right. I don't even want to talk about how many times a lady has tapped me. She tapped me, I think, 7 or 8 times in, like, a roll, like a 5-minute roll. I still haven't forgiven her for that. You know, so there's nothing wrong. I'm just upset at, you know what, man? I'm going to have to disagree with you. I didn't want to disagree with you, but okay. I will. Like, I don't think everyone's like that. I think there are people who can take losses.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think it manifests in different ways. And that's so, like, for example, I know someone who has been trying to lose weight for X amount of time. And they just keep trying. And they're at the point where they said, you know what? I don't care. I'm just going to be fat. And now they're just eating themselves to death now. And they're not working out. And they've developed this identity of, I'm just this fat person, and that's okay, and I'm cool with that. And so that's what I mean by it manifests in different ways. This person, this individual, I feel cannot take the losses of not being able to lose the weight. And at the end of the day, I know the problem. That's not what I'm talking about. But it's just like the loss of not being able to consistently keep it off. And now they're in another hole, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's what I mean by every individual. And it's on, the onus is on us to be honest with ourselves to see, like, hey, where am I putting my ego? Am I really being, like, lost in this moment of, like, do I really need to win? Why do I need to win this battle right now? Or is this for gold? Is this for...
like, is this going to matter at the end of the day?
Exactly.
Yeah. Am I going to go to work and cry in my lunch because I lost this morning? No.
No, exactly.
Michael Pixley said it best, and I love it. He says, when people are like celebrating wins in the training room, it's like, you see a scoreboard in here, man. You know, it's like, ain't nobody keeping score. Ain't nobody. You know what I mean? Like you can beat someone in training and never beat them in a comp, and I believe that's where it counts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you. You're trying to work and fine tune everything in training. It's not about winning, mm-mm. You know. It's about sharpening the tools. You know
that, and you know, you have good training days. You have bad training days.
Yes.
You could be coming into the mat like in a great headspace and still lose and just let it roll off your back, or you can come in with like a, you know, in a negative headspace and just let it ruin your day. It's completely up to you on how you want this to impact your day. You can just let it slide or just let it ruminate until the next training.
Yeah.
Let it feel you, sure.
you just said something about the scoreboards. Like, yeah, there are no scoreboards in there. And I imagine, you know, everyone's kind of keeping score in their head.
Sure.
Because I keep score of like, oh, I beat this guy. I don't know how many times I beat someone, but I know, okay, more often than not, this person's going to do this. And more often than not, once they do this, I'll do this and I'll beat them. But there are people who have like, you, doesn't matter what position we get in, you have an answer for me. And I have to still critically think out of it. Whereas like there's other people in the gym where, doesn't matter what position I'm in. I may be struggling for a moment, but I'm really just biding my time to get out of it, if that makes sense. And I'm giving you a chance to work your game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, practice should be about, like, in my opinion, if I was running a school, practice will be about, like, working on your defense. Because when you're really good at defending, then you can really work your offense then, because you don't mm-hmm. care about, like, what, like if you get in a bad position. You know, like, just work your defense, lose. Like you have the ability to lose because you're already fighting from like a deficit, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how I would run it. I would like, hey, we're only going to work like defense, you know, for the first, you know, 20, 30 minutes. And then, we'll, you know, like I love situational training.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
I love that. I think it's super beneficial. And I think you learn and grow so much from that. Let me give you a story. I was at an open mat somewhere, and this guy, I was rolling, like, sometimes when people see me, like, I have a very confident demeanor. Like, if I go into, like, an open mat, like, for whatever reason, I feel very excited and happy.
Yeah.
And so some people, like, they see that, and I'm like, oh, I want some. I'm like, get it. You know what I mean? You can get some of this if you want it. And so I was rolling with this guy, and I could tell that he wanted a piece of me. And we're rolling it, and I'm really working my defense. Like, I'm, you know, trying to see, like, once he gets all the way in, can I get out of it, and can I reverse it, yeah. right? And so he's getting all these moves, and I reverse it, and I'm just kind of, you know, working my submission, but I'm not, like, I'm looking at the clock, but I'm like, I'm not going to do it. Like, if I roll someone that's, like, 15 seconds left, I'm not going to try to crank.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to, you know, I'm like, all right, I'll usually, like, let it go, like, 5 seconds left. Yeah. And so when the round was over, he's like, oh, yeah, he's like, that was a good round. He's like, but I think I got you, like, you know, 7-2. I'm like, you were keeping score? Like, you were keeping score?
There's something to be said about someone who's keeping score in the middle of the roll. Come on now.
Yes.
on points, yeah.
And someone I didn't even know. Yeah. Someone I didn't know. Someone that I wasn't preparing for a competition or anything like that. They called out the score. And I'm like, are you kidding?
Yes, I see you're a man of ego.
But here's the thing, and I won't even lie. My ego kicked in. I'm like, if we roll again, dude, I'm going to submit you so many times now. I'm like, I'm not even, you know. But yeah, that was my fun story of, like, someone keeping dog on the score in class.
So when I'm training for competition, I do keep score just because I need to know, like, how many points I'm down. For me, it's always I want a submission. I do not ever want to win by points. But with that said, you sometimes can't get to goal without winning by point. So winning's winning. So I do keep a track of score in my head when I'm training for comp, just so I know, like, oh, I'm down 2 points. Oh, I'm down here. Where's the clock at? I got to push here.
Right.
Or I'm in that bad position, like you said, and that's what I was writing over here. I had, we were talking about coming back after breaks, and you said it, lose. And I think that's important when you're coming back from breaks, is to let yourself lose.
Mm-hmm.
Get tapped out more. I say this to every white belt when they ask me for advice, get tapped out more. And I think, I don't care what belt you are, when you come back, I don't want to speak for black and brown belts, but I will speak for purple, blue, and whites. When you come back from a hiatus, get tapped out more.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to help you remember, oh, yeah, I do that defense. Oh, yeah, there is that. Oh, wait, that's new. Oh, that person didn't do that. They're doing that now. And you could download someone else's game, and then now you can evolve your game as opposed to just coming back with the same old stale game that you already had when you left.
Yeah. Like, I mean, this is really easy to apply when you're a white or blue. You know what I mean? And the best example I can think of is, like, if there's a white belt, he's been training for a year, then he had a leave for whatever reason, and he comes back, and he's all these new white belts.
Yeah.
And they're better than him. He's like, what? You know, what did I miss? And he probably has a whole bunch of FOMO or whatever, and he's getting beat up. Like, you really have to be like, all right, let me just treat it as if you're starting all over again, you know, and that. But you, and hopefully, like, it's probably really harder for a blue belt to, like, take that in, but that's really good advice. Again, brown and black.
That's why I shut the fuck up. Where I was like, you know, let me shut up with the brown and black. You know, like, y'all do y'all.
A brown, if a freaking blue belt is, like, dominating a brown belt, And let's just say this brown belt was, like, the man, and now he doesn't have it back, you know, like, it's hard to be like, yeah, I'm gonna go in here, I'm gonna get tapped out, you know.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Because that may send you down a darker hole sometimes, you know.
Look,
that's really good advice to just lose, allow yourself to lose. You know, you can come back from that. And just take these losses and let it roll off your back by the end of the day. Like, it's not that deep.
Yeah.
It's really not that deep.
You know what? To, like, combine two of the things, I think it would be really good for, like, if you're on a hiatus and you're trying to, like, kind of get your rhythm back, like, always start from, like, a deficit. Always start in a bad position.
Mm-hmm.
That way you can kind of give yourself this feeling of, well, I was already losing, so I gave him the position. You know what I mean? That allow you to, like, slowly work back what you need, you know.
Do you guys ask your training partners to put you guys in bad positions?
I mean, I've definitely allowed myself to be in bad positions and to start in bad positions. I think that, you know, being in a bad position really allows me to work my defense. And, you know, like you said, if you're working your defense, you can go and transition into that offense too, which is, you know, combining the two is a good thing. But yeah, I like starting in bad positions, but I don't like being like under some big guy that inside control is going to lay on me the entire time, because that's not doing any of us good. So as long as it's like not laying and praying the entire time, we're okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think the question that you were going to go ahead.
Yeah, the question I was going to ask was just that, like, ultimately, I've been at gyms where I'm like, hey, can you start me back? Hey, don't start with them on your back. I'm like, why can't that happen? Like, so for me, I don't really ask people to put me in those scenarios anymore, just because I've been in scenarios where that wasn't even allowed.
That's weird.
It is weird.
That's a little bit weird, yeah.
And so I'm asking you guys so I can understand for myself more so, how can I approach asking my training partners to put me in bad positions?
Just ask them. Like, if I had somebody like, hey, can you start on my back so I can figure out how to get out of it? I'm like, yes, got you.
Okay.
Say less, you know? Or yeah. If someone wanted to start from feet, I'm like, sure, say less. Not even, you know, I'm here to help you just as much as you're here to help me.
Copy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'll just lay down, come on top of me. And I'll say it like that. And you, like, if you see me in, you see me in Forge and HQ, I'm always doing that. Like, I always want to start from a deficit and work my way up. I don't care how big they are or what rank they are. That makes me better. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I can tell a person, or if I'm rolling with someone and they can tell, like, I'm being a little limp, mm-hmm. they don't try as hard. And sometimes if I ask, they'll try a little bit harder. I made one mistake one time and I felt really bad. And I think a guy got really discouraged. I was training for a comp and I rolled with someone and I was being very light on purpose. Right. Mm-hmm. And so he was like, reverse somebody. He was sweeping me. He was putting me in deep submissions and everything like that. And I was getting out of all of them. This went on for like two rounds, right? And then like after people were watching because he was a smaller guy, was bigger, and they were like high five. I'm like, man, Dad, I saw you were killing him. Blah blah blah. It was like they were like, he was like high five. He felt really good and he sat down, and he watched me roll with a higher. Like, this person was also my same rank. Then he watched me roll with a brown belt, and me and the brown belt were battling. Like, I was catching him, he was catching me, and he was watching that, and he watched me roll with a black belt, and the same thing. And then, and it was like, it wasn't what we had. And he looked, and he came to me, he says, were you letting me do that? And I was like, oh, I was working on some stuff. You know, I was working on things. Mm-hmm. And I can see in his face, I'm like, you can tell like it was, hurt him.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think, like, it's probably better if I tell somebody, hey, I'm working on this, just, you know what I mean, versus letting them feel like they're getting the better of it.
Well, so, and that kind of goes back into what I was talking about earlier about, like, some people don't know how to take that loss, right? To him, that could be a loss. And now he may quit, not saying he did, right? But he may want to quit jujitsu. He may find reasons to get out of jujitsu because he may see himself as never being able to reach your standard. And so because of that, that's how he dealt with that loss. That's what I was trying to articulate, those kind of moments.
Yeah.
I think it is also important to realize that, like, everyone's on a different journey. Like, your journey is not the same as mine. Like, you know, I might not be in comp mode, but, you know, I can match that energy if you need me to, like, to help you. Like,
it always comes back to that. Yeah. Everyone's on their own journey. Like, honestly,
I'm just trying to get to work at the end of that, Leo, at the end of this practice. And other people are like, oh no, I'm going to stay and like do more rounds, whatever works for them.
Yeah.
It's we're on a different journey. One blue belt is not going to be the same as like a hobbyist blue belt. Is not always going to be the same as like a competition blue belt. So it's just one of those things you got to keep in mind.
Yeah. And same thing, even with like when you get like, look at purple and brown belt, mm-hmm. some purple belts will kill some brown belts. You know what I mean? Belts, Devontae says this all the time, belts don't really matter. No. And I think it really comes down to time on the mat at the end of the day. That's true. My personal.
Sometimes it's not even time on the mat. I mean, it's time on the mat as far as like your rank. Like, oh, I have this much knowledge. Right?
Yeah, sure. Belt, yeah. Like, yeah.
I carry this much knowledge. But there are just some savages that are just out there that are blue belts that will just run through everyone in the gym.
Well, that's why, like, for me, I've always looked at my progression as, like, how good am I against everyone as a whole? Mm-hmm. But am I at the top of my division, quote-unquote, belt level? Like, how do I do against everyone as a whole? Like, how do I, am I good against purple belts? Am I good against brown belts? Good mm-hmm. against black belts? Okay, now where do I rank at the blue belts? It's always this whole game. It's never just that individual one, you know?
Yeah.
So as far as, like, it doesn't matter what belt you are. I just want to know how I'm going to do against everyone.
Right. That and, you know, people are different sizes, too.
That, yes.
You know, a small, tiny blue belt against, like, a big one, like, that's not, they're not created equal.
Are there, maybe this is the wrong question to ask, but I know for me, there are people that I wish were bigger, like, my size. Because I'm like, you're so skilled and technical, I wish we could, like, bang. I wish I could use my strength against you because I don't want to hurt you if I did.
Yeah, yes, and I would say I definitely wish that there were some ladies who are blue belts. I'm like, I wish you had like 20 more pounds on you so mm-hmm. you can be like the same size as me so we can, you know, iron sharpens iron, essentially. But then there are other ones that are bigger, and I'm like, I wish I had like 30 more pounds on me to try to catch up to you.
Yeah.
Because I'm not trying to get smashed this entire round. I mean, it happens, but
I don't care how big someone is. You know what? Here lately, I've been like, I like training with bigger people because mm-hmm. everyone always freaking complains. They're like, oh, my God, you're so big. So anytime I see a big person in the gym, I'm like, I'm going with you, you know, just because I know what it feels mm-hmm. like. And I want to play. And if I can roll with them, I'm like, there's no excuse. Like, I try to eliminate that excuse when people use it on me. But I love rolling with women. And I don't get to all the time just because, like, I think I'm so opposing that they feel like I'm going to hurt them. And it's like, no, like I'm really chill. And women allow me to, like, slow the game down, you know, and, like, really see. Like, I know I'll have the advantage of getting out of a submission. I just use a little bit more strength than I need to, and I can get out of it. But women really allow you to sharpen your tools, mm-hmm. you know, because they're gonna be on the game, and you just almost have to, you know, to like follow them, and they'll put you in really bad position. Like, freaking one of my training partners, Julie, I always tell them, like, I learn something from you every time I roll with you, mm-hmm. you know, because I'm like, this allows me to be like, have a little bit more freedom. One, women they're not gonna have as big as ego as a guy. Some women are not going to have as big as ego as a guy. And two, I think they like to learn the same way in some more fun way. You know, I think a lot of women do like rolling with the guys because they feel like they can, like, you know, throw a little bit more mustard on it if they want to. You know?
No, that's real. You know, I do spend a lot of time like lifting also. So I'm like, ooh, let's see what wrestling moves I can pull off on this 200-pound man.
I like it. We are at that time where we do need to wrap up. So it's time to get high in positivity. So who wants to get high first?
Ooh, okay. Positivity. Well, again, thank you for having me, and it was good to finally meet Ross. Yeah. You know, I've heard a lot of really good things about you.
Probably all bad.
No, they're all really good.
Let me jump in with my positivity. First things first, shout out to my baby bro. He's in town from out of the country, so it's been nice getting to spend time with him.
Where's he coming from?
He's coming from Italy.
Ooh, okay. All right.
He's fancy. But he lives out there. He said, forget America, and I'm going to live in Italy.
No. I feel that. Okay.
That's a joke because he's actually in the Air Force. He really did say forget America. He's all about America. So, but no, I'm happy to spend time with my brother. Very positive to have him here. And, you know, as always, my lady. And, yeah, shout out to God.
Positivity. it's been a really rough year. It's been a really rough year, really rough month.
I feel it.
I want to say that I'm really thankful for the people that I have around me. Jason, you've been awesome to me, man. And like doing stuff like this really like gets me out of the hole that I'm in. My HQ family, Jean-Jacques Machado, my Forge family, everyone there, you guys really hold me up, and I'm so thankful and blessed to have you guys in my life and to be a part of that team. There's no other place I'd rather be. And I'm positive that I'm positive. You know, like I'm happy that I am the type of person who can look on the brighter side, because it's really easy to be pessimistic when things are not going your way.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm.
But I think that's a testament to how you handle losing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know what? In a moment, I don't handle it very well.
I was going to say, how do you handle your losses?
It seems to manifest in a positive way, though.
No, so in the moment, I handle them really bad. Like I'm really bad.
That happens.
But it just fires me up, you know. And I was going to say that, too. Like, I've never lost to someone and didn't give them their props. Anyone who's ever beat me, beat me.
Yeah.
You know, like, I never had an excuse for them, you know. And so I think I'm a man, whatever that means, when it comes to taking a loss. But I do get fired up. Yeah. I'm like, all right, someone's going
to
pay for this.
I think in the moment, it's hard to not feel those negative emotions of losing. But then, you know, you realize, like, this isn't going to ruin my day, or you don't allow it to ruin your day. So, yeah.
I'll give you one. Like, a loss is different for everyone.
Sure.
The last sermon that I was in, I didn't submit both guys. To me, that was a loss. When I came off the mat, I cried about it.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, because for me, that was a loss. Like, if I don't tap you, that wasn't, I didn't show what I was supposed to do, you know, so.
We got to get you realizing that getting a gold medal around your neck means that you won, bro. You already won.
Some would say just being at the tournament, you won. So,
or even waking up and make an appearance. Yeah.
Yeah. And I say they're all losers because they didn't medal. All right. I'm joking. Yeah. Look.
Speaking of medals and stuff, the Olympics are on.
So yo,
throwing that out there.
Yeah.
They started today?
Yeah.
They actually started like our Friday, but they should be going on.
They started.
When is the 100 meter? I'm sorry, I'm not trying to push this. When is the 100 meter?
I don't know.
Okay.
There should be a whole schedule. So.
I watched the documentary Sprint, and I'm like, I need to watch the 100 meter now.
Well, I don't know. Okay. We will find out after we wrap up the show.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
You can't talk.
You can
it's too
tell.
Early.
He's editing right now.
Thank you, guys. My Jiu-Jitsu for tapping in. I guess since Devontae's not here, I'll do like, comment, subscribe. You know, we all are places. We appreciate all the support. And
if you want to smoke, holla at Jason.
No.
He always does it.
Yeah, you're right. He does do that. But I quit. I quit. I'm done with jiu-jitsu. I give up.
He can't quit and have a podcast that's called this right here.
That's why it's a joke.
Yeah.
All right, y'all.
But have a donut first.
I am going to have a donut because I'm fat mode right now. But y'all stay blessed.